Support for this podcast comes from the Peabody Essex Museum, presenting Ethiopia at the Crossroads. On view now. Find out more about the exhibition at PEM.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Sugar Dumpling, you're my baby. I love you in every way, 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 way. Sugar Dumpling, you're my baby. My love grows stronger every day.
Now that is, of course,
the great Sam Cooke.
That's right, the great Sam Cooke singing Sugar Dumplin' from 1965, I think.
That sounds about right.
Okay, so Anthony, we're playing it not just because it's a great song, even though it is, but because it kind of helps us set a tone. I mean, I don't know, how would you describe it?
Light, fun, maybe even a little saccharine.
Exactly, I think that's a great description.
She's the sweetest thing in this world. Nah, whenever I'm hungry, I tell her, fix me something to eat. And oh, she rushes in the kitchen and fixes me a dinner with seven different kinds of meat.
Okay, so Sam Cooke's sugar is sweet. It's soul food. It's love. It's everything good about being alive. That's one kind of sugar. But there's another kind, a totally different kind. This one.
Sugar is complicated. It gives you energy and can eat you up from the inside out. The Negro people who raised me, much as I was cared for and much as I was loved, the ignorance and despair would have cut me up. Not love nor diabetes has killed me yet.
Now that is Robbie McCauley's sugar, the deadly kind, the kind behind a diabetes epidemic that affects almost 20% of adult African Americans. That's twice as many as in the general population. It is the kind of sugar that makes diabetes the fourth leading cause of death amongst blacks. Robbie McCauley is an Obie Award-winning playwright and professor of performing arts at Emerson College. Now she has put diabetes and the epidemic on stage for the first time in her new one-woman play, Sugar, which opens January 20th at Arts Emerson. Robbie McCauley is here with us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
It's a profound play that ties together sugar, history, slavery, and your own personal story. Robbie, can you start by telling us whether or not you yourself are diabetic?
I am diabetic, yes.
And what kind of diabetes do you have?
I have juvenile diabetes.
That's type 1 diabetes.
That's type 1, yes.
Okay. And we're going to talk about the difference between type 1 and type 2 in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what compelled you to write a play about being diabetic?
Well, it comes out of a series of work that I've been doing about my family. And generally, it's about my family's survival as an African-American family in the United States from as far back as I have heard stories and as far back as I can remember. I've talked about things like my grandfather and my father being soldiers, my great-great-grandmother being a victim of rape on the plantation. And so the hard realities of survival in America for African American people, as well as the joy and nurturing of survival. So my diabetes, which is unique in my nuclear family, was something that I had been silent about for many years. And after writing the other parts of this series of performances, I thought, you know, what am I hiding?
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to break the silence. And I think it's a big topic as well.
It's a huge topic. And do you mind if I ask you, so you've been thinking and writing, as you said, for many, many years about challenges to the survival of African Americans.
Yes.
And that's one thing that you sort of incorporate early into sugar when you talk about, you know, slavery and sugar plantations. Do you see this diabetes epidemic amongst African Americans as one of the latest challenges to survival?
Absolutely. I think that one thing people don't realize is that sugar was one of the major crops that developed the European and American economy through slavery. We think of cotton, but sugar was huge. And so we are connected that way. And now the side of it that is destroying our systems, both internal systems and societal systems in terms of nutrition and knowledge and all of the other diseases around it are also affecting. We're connected both personally and larger.
Now, you have type 1 diabetes, which is also commonly called juvenile diabetes.
Right.
And it's the type of diabetes where your body just does not produce insulin.
Or
not enough of it. Mm-hmm. Versus type 2 diabetes, where the body doesn't appropriately use the insulin that it produces. It's not able to do that. Now, it's called juvenile diabetes type 1. Were you a juvenile when you were diagnosed?
What I talk about in the play is that I had symptoms that I didn't know I had. There's something now called pre-diabetes, and people do or do not own it as a possibility for doctors to look at. But I certainly had symptoms that I later realized were symptoms of diabetes, but I had them very early.
Well, this seems to be something that is an issue in the larger African-American community. I mean, I've read that many, many people don't even realize they have diabetes until they come down with some of these symptoms or one of the corollary diseases adjoins suffering from diabetes. And, I mean, these are terrible things like glaucoma, blindness, kidney failure. People get really sick before they realize that there's an underlying cause.
Absolutely.
Also, part of your play, Sugar, deals with the fact that there wasn't a culture of sort of medical access that allowed you to understand at an earlier age that you had diabetes?
Of course not.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, in our community, there was a kind of ignoring of symptoms that you could live with because, as we know now, medical care was not so accessible. And we were a working family, and we got along quite well. However, we still had that same attitude. We were Army connected. We had access in that way. But there's a kind of attitude, not going to hospitals, because hospitals, you know, people felt if you go to the hospital, you're going to end up coming out in a hearse, those kinds of feelings. And, you know, we were sophisticated, of course, enough to know to care for ourselves. But we also just didn't pay attention to subtle symptoms of sickness. You pick yourself up and get back out there and do what you have to do.
You said a little earlier that you felt like it was time to break the silence around your personal struggling with diabetes for so long. Do you feel that there is a sort of community-wide silence about diabetes in the African-American community?
Absolutely, and not only, of course. You know, if it's African-American, it's everyone around this disease because the symptoms are so subtle and you can get along. Everybody gets tired. Everybody has the kind of slight dizziness that one has with diabetes. And so because the symptoms for many years can be subtle, you pull yourself up. And because the sugar fluctuates so much in the body, sometimes you feel quite well. So it's not something that that you feel you need to bother with.
Right.
And it was called A Little Bit of Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And too bad it was called A Little Bit of Sugar because it's really a big thing.
Well, we are talking about Sugar. It's the new play by Obie Award-winning playwright and professor of performing arts at Emerson College, Robbie McCauley. It starts pretty soon at Arts Emerson, and it's about diabetes and the African-American experience. It's about history. It's about community. It's about a lot of things. So that's what we're talking about today. And listeners, what do you make of the fact that Robbie McCauley has dramatized diabetes? Is it about time that you think that this epidemic has been given a face and put on stage? And why do you think that diabetes has struck African-Americans and other minority communities with such particular force? What do you think can be done about it? And if it struck you or your families, what are your stories about growing up with, as Robbie McCauley said, a little bit of sugar? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Robbie, if I may, I'd like to bring in another guest who's sitting right next to you. Her name is Yvette Cozier, and she is an assistant professor of epidemiology at the Boston University School of Public Health and also a co-investigator on the Black Women's Health Study at BU. Yvette Cozier, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
I guess, first of all, I want to ask you, what do you make of the fact that that someone has dramatized a disease as, you know, that's hitting epidemic proportions like diabetes?
I think it's great in that by telling stories, people understand that it's how common it is, but also that it's not entirely a normal thing that we have to live with, and that there, in the case of type 2 diabetes in particular, there are things that can be done, and that you don't have to accept the level of illness or just a little bit of sugar,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Well, you know, so in Robbie McCauley's play, there are all these threads that come together. There's the long history of slavery, mm-hmm. And I was even fascinated by, you know, you're talking about, like, just sugar as this entity and freighted with all its meaning back all the way back to sugar plantations. So that got me thinking about the fact that there are historical and environmental influences that really come to roost today. What do you think are some of those influences in terms of how we're seeing, you know, almost 1 in 5 African Americans above the age of 21 either have diabetes or will soon have it?
Yes. Well, one of the things where my research is focused is on the effect of neighborhood and how that influences many of the behaviors, if you will, many of the things that we do that can increase our risk for diabetes. So neighborhoods that are more isolated tend to have less access, not just to health care, but also to the things that make us well. Safe places to walk and exercise, something that will certainly decrease our risk of diabetes, having physical activity. Functioning supermarkets, full-service supermarkets versus small corner convenience stores where many people have to buy the bulk of their groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Giving greater choices around healthy foods. So a lot of these things are kind of the consequence of that segregated marginalization that the African American community has experienced for generations.
Well, Robbie, I mean, I see you shaking your head.
Absolutely. I think that the access to proper food, even fresh food, mm-hmm. I talk about food as love in the family. Mm-hmm. And even though we might have eaten the wrong things back in the time, mm-hmm. we had fresh foods. Uh-huh. We had access to garden. Mm-hmm. And things like that in the South. And so I think that it's criminal.
The food deserts, as they're mm-hmm. called the, now.
Yeah, yes. And the fact that that people, there's so many additives, mm-hmm. of course, in foods.
Well, I actually have a little bit of an excerpt of you performing one of these sections of the play where it's almost as if you're singing about the joys of food from okay. when you were younger. Because you grew up in Columbus, Georgia, right?
That's right.
And so here's a little bit of Robbie McCauley performing from her new one-woman play, Sugar. And again, it's about just the joy of food when she was young.
Me and sister help clean greens, snap bean shell peas, or cut cabbage, peel potatoes for salad, or help pluck the feathers off the poor chicken whose neck Ma Willie had cracked. Only on Sunday or special days did we have cakes. Ma Willie chocolate, Aunt Jessie coconut, and Aunt Nell a pound cake so good make you want to slap somebody.
That's Robbie McCauley performing from her new one-woman play, Sugar. And just even listening to it, you can almost taste how good it is. But Yvette Cozier, mm-hmm. I mean, as Robbie was saying, like, that's the food that she had when she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And for many families, you know, that is food of grandparents or great-grandparents and just not available. I mean, talking about snapping fresh peas, it's not a common thing anymore for some families.
Exactly. And she also mentioned on Sundays, mm-hmm. you had the cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we can go anywhere and have the cakes and then take it back to our desk, you know, in our car and sit down. So you know, while it was a treat and it was fresh, certainly these things didn't happen with the regularity that they do now. Plus the additives of sugar. Sugar is in almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents find no problem giving their children a fruit drink. That's a good thing. But if you actually read the ingredients, you find that there is added sugar in many drinks. And so you're getting this bonus, if you will, that you weren't counting on. And these types of things are what begin to influence our diets, and because of just the how common sugar is in everything. So it's gone from a once-in-a-while treat to being
a constant.
A constant, mm. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about Sugar. It's a new play by Obie Award-winning playwright Robbie McCauley. It'll be at Arts Emerson starting January 20th, and we're talking about the African-American experience of an epidemic of diabetes. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We've got a bunch of callers who want to share some of their stories, so if we could go to them. Charles is calling from Cumberland, Rhode Island. You're on the air, Charles.
Yes, I just wanted to share a little something that I kind of come across myself. I'm type 1 diabetic. And I was diagnosed in my 20s. I'm approximately 49 years old right now, but I've learned through actually one of the programs that you've had on PBS about minorities. I'm Latino as well. Minorities, once they immigrate into, say, the environment, the work environment, and the kind of a racist environment in many cases, looking at it from a minority standpoint, where you have undue stress that affected mortality, as well as the birth of infants, as well as other health mm-hmm. issues that develop after a family were to immigrate here from, say, Mexico. After the first year or so, they started developing, certain health problems that they didn't ever had before, and diabetes is one of them.
Charles, thank you so much for your call. I want to let Yvette Cozier take a shot at answering that. I mean, there are a whole host of, as Charles was saying, you know, stress issues, emotional mm-hmm. issues. How do these things inform the development of a disease?
Well, certainly your body responds to stress hormones by trying to kind of protect itself from things, and that can be added accumulation of fat and of other types of hormones that make the loss of fat much more difficult. Also, when and these have been seen in we call immigrant studies, that immigrants tend to be healthy, and once they come to this country, after in less than a generation or more, they'll take on the health profile of the U.S. And it's the foods change. The familiar situations get shifted. A lot of things begin to change. Physical activity, routine things mm-hmm. that were done in the host country are no longer supported. Here, for example, food sources also change. The quality of food that was available before. So these are the types of things in their entirety that can certainly, you know, pile on to the stress besides, you know, the obvious stressors of language and cultural change, but can add to all kinds of illnesses, including diabetes.
Well, if I can, Robbie, I want to play another clip from a recent rehearsal that you did of sugar, because it sort of gets at the undercurrents of these other factors, emotion, stress, even stigma that comes along with diabetes in minority communities. So this is a little more of Robbie McCauley performing from her new play, Sugar.
Sex is gentler than love, I always knew, and shame more difficult than guilt. Sugar carries shame. The second husband, free and white, needed late-night donuts from New York delis, and my morning sugar to be thick enough to suck out my teeth.
Robbie McCauley, there's that line that you say, sugar carries shame. Now, why did you write that?
Because it does.
What do you mean?
Sugar being described as diabetes is certainly something that people are often blamed for, and therefore one is ashamed of not doing the right thing.
But you have it because you didn't take care of yourself.
Yeah,
because you're not exercising, yeah, you're not eating right.
It's all your fault. You should be well. You should survive all these stresses. And and I use the word often in the piece, if you sneak and eat the wrong things, you feel ashamed for hiding the bad behavior that you have. But also there's a larger kind of shame, and that is being looked at as out of control, of not being the good citizen, the surviving black person in my culture that you ought to be.
Yvette Cozier, I mean, this seems to be a very powerful and dangerous influence here, because, I mean, it is true. If you don't think about it too carefully, when you hear about diabetes, you hear, oh, it happens to people, especially type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. who are more often overweight or obese, who don't eat right, who don't get out and exercise, you know, who just, as Robbie was hinting at, who aren't doing a good job being an upright, healthy American citizen. Mm-hmm. Overlay that with the fact that many African Americans suffer from diabetes. I mean, how does that make it a challenge when there's such a stigma?
Yeah, there's such a stigma, and there's just so many structural things that are hard to change. So imagine a clinician telling their patient over and over, you need to lose weight, you need to exercise, you need to do these things. And what's in the control of that person is obviously, yes, stop eating. But once they go shopping and they're trying to do the right thing, their choices are so limited oftentimes. And we fail to recognize those other structural things that shape individual behavior, that influence individual behavior. I think it would be a challenge for any of us to try to find food that does not have an extra lacing of sugar, extra additive.
I want to get in one more call here, mm-hmm. if I can. Hope is calling from Brookline. You're on the air, Hope.
Hi, great show, and I wanted to first emphasize that it's wonderful that you're doing this play. The need is definitely out there, and I also wanted to emphasize the structural aspects of this. Sugar, corn sugars, all sorts of hidden sugars that are in our foods because of agricultural subsidies that, you know, people don't even know if they're even trying to read labels, as well as the food deserts that have been talked about before. I'm a type 1 diabetic African-American woman and suffered many of the side effects that have been talked about. And I just want to congratulate you on doing this play and doing this effort.
Hope, thank you so much for your call. Robbie McCauley, that leads me to one of my last questions for you. I've read you beforehand being quoted as saying that you feel theater is still a source or a force for social change. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of part of what was driving you to write this new one-woman play?
Absolutely. I think people in a room listening to each other is a different time and place from other media.
Mm-hmm.
And that to be able to have that kind of exchange can help shift one's perception.
Mm. And when we hear about the facts surrounding African Americans and diabetes, that maybe nearly 3 million of them suffer from it and half of them may not even know it, it's about time we got a conversation started, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, Robbie McCauley is an Obie Award-winning playwright and professor at Emerson College. Her new play is Sugar. It starts at Arts Emerson on January 20th. Robbie McCauley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Yvette Cozier, assistant professor of epidemiology at BU School of Public Health and co-investigator of BU's Black Women's Health Study, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Well, coming up, we'll have a little bit more conversation about super PACs and money from Massachusetts to South Carolina, and we'll go out with a little Nina Simone. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.